It's a very special day here. We had Chris Hoke talking football for an hour, and now we bring in a Stanley Cup champion, Mr. Jay Caulfield, brought to you by the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. He is on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Hello, Jay.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I can't speak for Ron, but I'm doing well. Ron?
Oh, just soloed it. Sorry, Joe. How you doing?
Oh, no. Ron's here. I just can't speak for him.
He can't speak for me, Jay. I'll speak for myself. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, guys. How are you, man?
You got any golf going on today? It's beautiful outside.
We just got done. It's very nice.
How'd it go? Done. How'd you shoot him?
Not bad. It always could be better, but not bad. We're all kind of thought about here. We are playing mid-December, and we're playing golf. So it's pretty nice. It was a nice day.
You got a score for me?
I'm an 84. I was an 84 guy.
Did Joe's name come up on any?
I think had like a.
Did Joe?
Saying, okay, now I'll give you. What was that?
I was going to say, did Joe's name come up on any of the tees?
Not today. I was going to say not today. It did not today. Well, Pierre Lourish, when he's he's our. I've given you the names of the guys who I always say are great players, and Pierre is one of them. I always say about Mario and our friends Dave Swanson, they're the guys that are really good players, and when we're out there, but Pierre's the one that keeps the conversation going. And Joe, I'm gonna have to, if you have a chance, that's the guy you should play with, because he's entertainment, it never stops, and he's nonstop. But he shot in the 70s, and Rob King is a really good player too. He hits the ball a long way. I mean, really, Rob's a really good player. So Rob shot, I think Rob was like maybe not even his best day, but he might have been high 70s kind of thing.
How about Mario? Did he play?
Mario did not play today. He's busy. There's stuff going on right now, Joe. He's busy. He played yesterday, but not today.
All right. Well, the Penguins also have been playing a lot lately, and they're playing really well right now, Jay. Things have changed. If you had to put your finger on the number one reason why the whole season has turned around, what would it be?
Well, I think, if you went through it, the things we talk about probably every night, the goaltending has been, and Casey Smith getting a couple wins now, that's great. That quiets everything down. Jari's been outstanding from the beginning of the year. The penalty kill has been phenomenal, number one in the league. If you look at the players that have all stepped up and given times and filled in different roles, a player like Rodriguez, Heinen, McGinn, I think McGinn, with Bluger and Zach Gastarice, that line to me is better than, I think McGinn brings a different, he keeps plays alive. He holds on to pucks. They're good together. That trio is very good. So I like that line. I think Heinen being able to move up and down, he's now in the second line. I think all those pieces of the puzzle are very good. And I think the decor, they've had three pairs that they basically run with most of the year. And they're all very comfortable playing the game together, and I think all those little pieces, and I go, Mike Sullivan, the way he's coached the group, as I said, when guys are in and out of the lineup, when they step into it, they all seem to understand or what's expected of them, and for me, that's clarity is a big thing for anybody in any sport, and I believe when players step out on the ice, they understand their role and what they expect of them on a given night, and they're all performing to accomplish that. I think that's all the reasons. You need all these pieces to come together for it to be where they're at. And that, obviously, healthy Sidney Crosby finding his game, and it takes everything else to a different level.
Jay, 10-2-1 in the last 13. You know, they won five in a row, lost three, and have won five in a row again. It amazes me, without Malkin, Gensel, and Rust, which maybe, if you put them together, would be one of the best lines in the league, and they're winning without these guys. And, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Evan Rodriguez. We love to call him E-Rod here. I don't know that anyone thought he would be this good, because he's really stepped up big time, hasn't he?
Yep. Yeah, Joe. I mean, he's the one. He is that one player. Okay, so Russ goes down, and you have Rodriguez move up to the right side. And then you think, and what always enters my mind is, hey, how does a player handle that opportunity to play with Crosby? And is the moment too big? Or I don't want to say it like that, but the the moment you've been that Crosby that they all want to see. And he did. That's all he's done. He's gotten holds on the pucks, creative, a great shot. He has no problem, not shy about shooting the puck on the power play. He got a great one-timer, a great release. So right away, he handles that. Then the left side, now you have Gensel go down. They move him to the left side. So, and he accomplishes the same thing. They haven't missed a beat. And at times, even just been better. They keep the same thing going. So with the players you mentioned that are out, that could be one line that just completely comes back and you roll from there. It's kind of wild, like you said, Joe and Ron. But for that player, what Rodriguez has done, he's taken full advantage of an opportunity that was handed to him. He earned it, rather, I should say. He earned that opportunity through camp, through the beginning of the season, to be in the position that he is. And he's a reason why, as I said, there's a number of players that have stepped their game up, but he's a huge reason why they're in that position, and he's been outstanding all year.
Jay Caulfield joining us. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You can follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer, with locations in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Jay, we saw the Flyers make a coaching change, and I'm wondering if you are as surprised as Ron and I are that Rick Tocchet isn't already the new man in Philly. It seems like Chuck Fletcher wants to give Mike Yeo a chance, and suddenly they've won three in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I think the same as you guys do, but I also believe we don't know like what's on the business side of it. They're paying a guy $5 million not to be there. Maybe they don't want to spend. I mean, Philadelphia certainly has the money to do that. I just think maybe it might be a mix of that. That hey, they maybe if we can keep from within, pay Mike Yeo a little bit more money, and roll with that. Now they get a couple wins. Now it's funny. Two teams now have responded to these coaching changes. Vancouver and Philadelphia now starting to win a few games. Vancouver did it right off the bat. Kind of wild. I believe only in hockey do we see it happen as much change, mid-coaching changes, mid-season. But I still don't, unless either Tock is not interested and vice, and maybe they just don't want to step into the fray of that and let's see what Mike Yeo does. But I would find it hard to believe that you let go a whole staff, but you're keeping one person on the staff who was there. And did the message really change? That's the one thing I would think or be concerned about, but obviously they're responding enough to say, okay, we made a change and we're winning a couple games in a row here.
Jay, what do you make about Jim Rutherford coming back into the game as the Vancouver president of hockey operations?
Yeah, you know what? Look, they needed an overhaul there, and now they're doing it. They've got the coach that they want, and as we just said, they've responded like that. Now you get Jim Rutherford in the front office who like his record, you know, the cups he's won, they're just going, we need somebody in here who's going to kind of go through this whole system and see what we need and what changes we need to make. He also has a pretty good thing to work with there. So obviously for anybody from here, everybody's glad to see him back in the game and probably where he still belongs. It always makes you wonder. I always think about Craig Patrick. Every time somebody gets a position like that, you know, there was a guy that, my opinion, was the best in the game and what he did. And, you know, you get away from the game too long. That's the other thing, guys. You got to get back into it right away. You can't be off too long. But he's one that was the best in the game. And now everybody else that's getting hired and Jim Rutherford gets rehired, I think he'll obviously do a great job out there. They have talent out there. And he'll start making the moves that he'll need to do to have a winner be there or oversee all of it. And I think one of them is hiring a GM. So let's see what happens from there. But, again, guys, I think like Rick talked it to when we talked about that, you can't be out of the game too long and it starts to get away from you. And all of a sudden your name's not mentioned. I still believe, and as I've said it and we've talked about it here, he should be top of the list. And surprised he didn't go to Seattle. Surprised he didn't end up in a few other places, but his time will come, and maybe it's when he wants to do it too. He might need a complete break, guys. It's good to get after being in Arizona for the 4 years, no money, the talent wasn't there, He probably needs a mental break, and doing the TV thing for him nationally is just a great fit for him right now.
Jay, I have a big picture question for you next, sort of about the state of the league and how I think it's getting less and less physical, and I'm wondering if that benefits the Penguins. I'll let you chew on that for a minute, and we'll be right back talking about that and other hockey topics with Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield. You can now watch live video of what's going on in the studio. Take a look at 93.7thefan.com. Say hello to Ron. Go to shows and go to live video. Jay Caulfield joining us for another segment here in the 1 o'clock hour, and Jay's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Here's my theory, Jay. I'll mention it to him in a minute, Ron. We're calling him back right now. Penguins Sabres tomorrow night. The Sabres have become the Sabres again, which is good news for the Penguins.
Is Ben going to be watching the game, do you think?
No, probably not. I think everybody in Buffalo has more or less given up on the Sabres. Have you seen the attendance? Like, literally nobody is in the rink.
At Buffalo?
Yeah.
Well, that's such a great hockey market, too.
I know.
It's a shame.
It's an absolute shame. All right, Jay, I mentioned that I have a theory, and I want your comment on this, if you wouldn't mind. It just feels to me, I was watching a game the other night, and I can't remember if it was the Penguins or somebody else. Somebody ran into a goaltender and nobody really reacted at all to it. And I feel like that's becoming more and more normalized. I feel like the game is becoming less and less physical. Sometimes it's imperceptible. It just keeps happening. And then one day I wake up and really notice it. And I think A, that's true. And I think B, that benefits the Penguins that the league is like that these days. Your thoughts on all the above?
Yeah, I think I even saw a game. I know what you're talking about. I forget what game I was watching where there was just the guy drove the net, crashed into the net. It wasn't a big deal at all, and they went about their business, and it was kind of surprising. That is something completely different. Even if a player was just playing a game and took his it's like taking a liberty. If you're going to drive the net and you know you crash into the goaltender, that was still something that was always addressed immediately by whoever was on the ice at the time. And if you let it go, then it's like just forgotten, and your goaltender is vulnerable. The goalies are vulnerable. It's like your quarterback. You can't let them. Star players and goaltenders can't be touched, right? Shouldn't be touched.
Exactly. And I'm talking all over the ice too, Jay. I'm talking the crackdown on cross checking, just the overall lack of physicality and whatever else you want to call it.
Yep, and I agree. So first of all, I agree, and we know the game is different, but it really is. So, and do I think it benefits the Penguins? Yes, I do. I mean, I think the one team, if you look in the divisions, I think the Rangers have built up are a tougher, bigger, tougher team. Not only about Reeves, but Trouba. He's had a number of hits over the last couple of weeks, and believe me, right away, as soon as that happens, teams, players take notice that realize he's going to step up and take the body, but. You know, and then there's been a couple altercations off of that. But outside of that, in the Eastern Conference, especially, Tampa's big and can play any style. The Rangers are bigger now, certainly, and can play any style. Outside of that, you're right, the game is completely different. I do believe it will benefit the Penguins just because of how they're built. They are built differently, but they play a hard brand of hockey that makes it difficult to play against, only because of the scheme and hard on the forecheck and that type of thing. I mean, I think Wilson has only had, I believe he's had one fighting major in Washington through 20-some games. The hits, his penalties are way down. I believe Washington's one of the least penalized teams in the league as well. So, Jeff, Joe, I agree, and it will benefit the Penguins as you move forward. The team that will cause. Now, you still got to wait and see what is playoff hockey going to be like. Well, again, go right through the teams I just mentioned. I was having a discussion with Rob King about this not long ago. Like, what teams are out there to pose a problem when you get into the playoffs? And the Islanders are always posed a problem because of how they play and their style. Well, they're not. They're looking like it's going to be very difficult for them to get in. And the rest of the league, you go by it. But as I said, Tampa can play any style. Florida, I believe they can play any type of style too, but not, you know. So, I mean, it's going to open this wide. It's going to make it wide open. I believe the Penguins will be in good shape if they continue to play the same stingy brand, difficult through the neutral zone, run the forecheck, and that can work.
Jay, I got to figure, do you ever look back and think you came along at the right time? Would there be a spot in the NHL for you right now?
No. I mean, I mean, everybody would like to play the game where you didn't have to worry, like, no. So, first of all, no. The game wouldn't be – that's why guys are not even around anymore. Does that mean all the guys couldn't play? I mean, the comment that guys couldn't play the game, some of the guys who are fourth-line players were – you know, if you look at what their numbers were through junior, they just ended up being fighters later on too. So obviously they're not a Mario. They're not as skilled like a top six forward, but a lot of guys played the game. They just never got credit for it. So for me, flat out, there wouldn't be a place for me in the game today. Would you like to play in the game today? Yeah, you'd like to play in the game today because your team's up 4-0. Nobody's coming after you. You can go out and try and score a goal yourself. That didn't happen before. You stepped on the ice in a 3-0 game. Somebody was coming after you. So it's completely different. And I don't begrudge anything. That gave me an opportunity to be playing a game, and it worked both ways. But you didn't it wasn't like they had the greatest enjoyment when your team wins 7-0, because somewhere in that 7-0 game, or 4-0, I'll use 4-0. It was 4-0. There was a lot going on in the game. And it wasn't all like, hey, this is a boatload of fun right now. I'd rather be out trying to score a goal. But that you wouldn't get that chance. Because somebody's coming after you to change or that's the way the game was made and built. It's different today. You can watch a 4-0 game. That's where I look at that it's really changed, Joe. 4-0, 5-0. There's nothing happening in a lot of games. And it just carries itself out and, game ends, 6-0. One team gets on a bus and goes home. Another team just goes home. They won the game. So it's completely different. And the league wants it to be different. I don't blame them for – I would want, as I said before, the stage fighting thing, that's never good because it's not good in any sport because it doesn't look like. But stuff that happens from pure emotion or somebody – players, then that's when it gets addressed. But the stage fighting started to look too gimmicky and, too much of a show, like a little sideshow. The pure nastiness of the hockey world – and guys who played in the 60s, 70s, 80s, everybody all has their feelings about it. But when I was back in those days, that was pure. There was pure nastiness and pure hatred. Now, then you got in the 2000s, and there was stage fighting, and that started. They didn't want that in the game. I totally get it. But when something happened from pure emotion, the game still lets you have that piece of it. That's when emotions and everything ride high. And when you have a player like Mario who can do anything, but he's physically a big imposing player, they all had to stick. He had to stick up for himself. He had to take care of himself in situations too, but you couldn't let them. They weren't allowed to. You had to watch that. And again, I believe the game is totally different, but you still don't want to see Sidney Crosby get touched or whatever. But again, I'm sorry on this one, Ron, you asked a question. I said no. There was not a place for me in the game today. But you sure wish you could play. I bet every guy who I played against and with and had that role wishes they could go out there and have a fourth line role and try and do something where somebody's not coming after you because your team's losing 2-0 or 3-0.
Meanwhile, we had the Sonny Milano goal the other day with Anaheim on the lacrosse style pass from Zegras. And then we had some people, at least one person, John Tortorella, come out and rail against that, saying if that happened in 99 or 2000, somebody would have taken their heads off. I don't like it. I would have had a talk with them after the game. How did you feel about that goal, Jay?
Yeah, I think the skill of the young player today is, obviously we know it's out in every sport. The skill level of players in this, they're so specialized growing up today, and they all work on this skill to a different level. So the skill part of it and to do it in an NHL game was outstanding. And his reaction was outstanding. Now, that being said, I watched John Tortorella on TV talk about it, and he's just saying what – I think what would have happened was that somebody would have addressed it. Look, whether you're a dinosaur in the game or not, the fact of the matter is you're embarrassing somebody on that play, right? That's what's happening. You're embarrassing the goaltender, the decoy that's around there, and somebody would have addressed it in some way. I remember Phil Bork. We played Detroit, and Phil Bork turned the stick over. He had a breakaway and turned the stick over and put the tip of his stick on the puck and carried it in on a breakaway. And that's Borky. that's Borky. That's, you know, and it's entertainment. But Joey Kosher, Bob Probert, guys like that, they're not liking that. So I think if that would have happened back in the day of those type, Dave Brown in Philly, I guarantee you Dave Brown, Rick Tocchet, Craig Berube would have went after that player in some degree. Now, it's not that's back then. This is the game today. And do I think it's – I think it's an amazing skill level, and you carry it out in an NHL game with the best players, and they carried it out, and it was successful. It was great for the game, great for the player because his reaction was just natural, and they were thrilled about it. But and back before, what I think Tortorella was trying to say was, hey, if you did that back then, somebody would address it. I agree with that. They would have. But this is the game today, and that's where you're at. Do I think it's like a real – do I think like even the Michigan goal, the first one where a guy picks it up and carries it around and tucks it in the net, do I really think that's a great play? I mean, the league might have to look at that one day and go, look, it's not really what we want to see in the game, or if they want to see it, then continue on. But every kid has tried it and played it since they first saw it. And great for them. They have the skill level to do it. But I wouldn't be surprised one day if the league looked at it and maybe said, look, it's not really in what we do in our game. Because it's kind of – it is lacrosse style. But that flip of the puck and Milano batted it in, that's a great play. And everybody loved it.
Jay, real quickly, did you see the Marc-Andre Fleury tribute last night? He won his 500th game last week. All his teammates came out wearing number 500 on their warm-up jerseys. It was pretty cool. Did you see it? And can you wrap your arms around 500 wins for Fleury?
No. And I didn't see it. I was going to watch because I know I can pick it up today and see the clip of it. I know that they have it on. I can pick it up on YouTube, whatever. I think, first of all, it's the player himself. I wasn't a teammate of his, but been through. You know, we've been covering this all this time, and I've had the opportunity to be on the ice with him and skate with him and never stopped working. Always one of the happier guys. Treats everybody wonderful. I think there's so many things, Ron, that to go into a tribute to a player like that and what he means to the game, because he's a player that people, you want to root for him, but he's got a nasty, when you watch him, he doesn't hesitate to let people know what he's about and what he does. He's just a great goaltender that just continues to impress everybody, and I'm looking forward to seeing the tribute because I think it's something special. And when there's players like, there's not a lot around like that, and he's liked by everybody. So I look forward to seeing it. But congratulations to him and his family.
Sort of like Jay, Joe, liked by everybody. I think we can fairly say that about you, Jay. We absolutely can. Joe, would you agree with me on that?
Wholeheartedly. Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome, guys. Very nice of you, Ron. Very nice, guys. Very nice.
Stay well. Hit them good, Jay. If the weather stays nice, hit them good.
Okay, guys. You take care. Talk to you next week.
Joe, I got to say something right here.
Yes.
About the weather. In the 60s today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Frizzella sent out a tweet. You know what the weather was last year on December 16th
yes.
of 2020?
What?
9.3 inches of snow.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
In December of 2020, 27.5 inches of snow last year. 60-some today, 9.3 inches of snow last year. Wow.
I kind of prefer the snow myself.
You can have it. I'll give it. See, if you weren't injured, you could be out there playing golf with Jay and Pierre.
I know.
They'd be glad to have
I'm
you.
Going to work on my putting today. Look at this. I'm looking last February 21st. Sid tried the lacrosse style goal. And it's unbelievable that Shesterkin from the
Rangers
anticipated it. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'll show you during the break, Ron. He should have scored. Sits behind the net. He picks up the puck on his stick, on his backhand, and tries to shove it in the upper corner. And the guy guards against it. He was ready for it. But I think it's a fabulous play. Although I hear what Jay says, should it be allowed in terms of should you be able to pick up the stick like that or the puck like that on your stick?
I mean,
I don't know. I love
the
it.
The hand-eye coordination is just tremendous, right?
Yes, I love it, and I can't believe he missed on that one. I'd like to see him get one of those. All right, coming up, Ron, it's time for our What's Cooking segment. We have a very interesting game tonight in the NFL.
We sure do.
Two great quarterbacks, plus we have Pitt Volleyball trying to get to the national championship tonight. Let's predict that game too, shall we, Ron? Match, I should say.
People
it's a volleyball
say,
match.
I know even less about volleyball than I do about pro football, and people will tell you I know nothing about pro football.
That doesn't mean we can't pick it, though, right?
We can pick it. I pick them every week not knowing anything.
We'll talk about it next on Cookin' Joe.
Now, let's take a quick peek at the sports calendar to see what's cooking.
In all the years that I've been watching my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the black and gold, Thursday night that first half was probably the saddest day that I've had in all of my years of playing and all of my years since my retirement of watching the Steelers play. That was a poor, poor example of the black and gold. And it disappointed me, and I'm sure it disappointed a lot of guys that love the Pittsburgh Steelers and the fans that love the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What would you have said to Chase Claypool if you were a teammate of his when he was celebrating after that first down as the clock is running with 40 seconds to go?
Hey, man, I thought you were more educated. Didn't you go to Notre Dame? Why you play this game? For you to show your butt or win the game? You made the play. Give the ball back to the officials. The clock is ticking. You're costing your team valuable time. I don't know. It's that youthful experience, exuberance. I don't know. Maybe it was that. In college, when you get a first down, the clock stops. Maybe he had a throwback memory. He was in college that the clock was going to stop. I don't know. But the game is not about him pointing to first down. Hell, we can see. We know you made the first down. Get your tail back to the huddle. Get the ball back to the official. Very immature.
Joe said it would. When Pittsburgh wants to know. Joe said it would.
This one isn't about you, Starkey.
Joe said it would. No, that was Joe Green, the greatest Steeler of all. I didn't even notice the first couple times we played it. He included his playing days. It was the saddest day, including that first season.
That goes back to what, 69?
When he was ready to quit.
69. So it's 31 and 21. It's 52 years. My math? Yeah.
Yeah. That's about as ugly a first half as you could imagine. Well, except for the one 2 weeks earlier. This is happening regularly.
In Cincinnati. Yep.
What a sad state of affairs, Ron, and yet I think we all think they're going to win this weekend, don't you?
I think they have a real chance.
You already predicted them to win. Are you going to go back on that tomorrow?
I might flip and flop. We'll see.
What's Cooking? Presented by your local Pittsburgh area GEICO agent, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And by Mr. Reuter.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter. Call 412-ROOTER2. Let me just interrupt.
That's my line, Ron.
I know, but I want to interrupt you here just to promote one more time. Domenico's Restaurant today, 4 to 6, Mr. Reuter Toy Drive. Please stop out. Help some kids. It's going to be a great event. I'll be there 4 to 6, Domenico's Restaurant. Stop by. Say hello.
Prediction for the game tonight?
Well, first of all, I just saw something. I didn't see all of the Chargers game. I was watching Buffalo, Tampa. I was watching Cincinnati, San Fran. The Giants game last week, Justin Herbert threw the ball 65 yards in the air
for a
touchdown, dropped it like a teardrop from heaven, rolling to his right and throws it 65 yards. That's about as pretty of a pass as I've seen in a long time. You saw it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, it was all over Twitter. It's crazy what he can do. And the fact that he's 6'6 and can move around.
65
what he did to the Steelers.
Yards in the air. Wow. Well, let's do our picks. I picked up a game on you last week. I was 4-3. You were 3-4. So last week I talked about your lead being a precarious 2.
Now
it is down to a precarious 1.
What's the spread?
Kansas City at L.A., the Chargers tonight in SoFi Stadium. The Chargers are getting 3 points as the home team. Kansas City -3. I've been riding the Mahomes bandwagon. I'm going to keep riding with it. I'm going to take Kansas City tonight to win and cover. I got the Chiefs. Who do you got?
Holy corn follicles, Ron. I have the Chargers here. The Chiefs can't go on forever. I still don't think they're going to make it back to the Super Bowl. I think it's a lot to ask to get to three in a row. Everything's been going perfectly for them. Tonight they run into a monster here in Justin Herbert. They do. There was a lot of there are still a lot of teams in the AFC that I wonder if they were for real. The Chargers were one of them. I think this offense anyway is very, very much for real, starting with that quarterback. You saw what they did to this team. Then they put 41 on Cincy, and then, well, the Giants don't really count, but they put 37 on them.
The Chiefs' defense, I think I read, has been allowing less than 11 points a game for like 6 or 7 weeks in a row. So this might be one of those something has to give games, right?
Well, let's examine who they played. They played Daniel Jones, Jordan Love, the Raiders, Dak Prescott. Did he play in that game?
I think he did.
And then Denver and Vegas. So, I don't know.
You're not buying that defense?
Not fully. Okay. No. They haven't faced this guy. I know that. I just read you who they faced over that time period. I need to see more. They were the worst defense in football for a while.
Yeah, but then they picked up Melvin Ingram.
That's right. They did pick up Melvin Ingram.
Picked up Melvin, and he's fit in as a team leader. How about that?
And he's done a lot of things to help them. I'm looking at what they did that day. Prescott was 28 of 43. He got sacked. He got sacked five times.
That was a 19-9, I believe the score was.
Yeah, so that one stands out. Although, horses, Broncos shut out the Cowboys. So, one good quarterback. And I like Derek Carr as much as the next guy, but the Raiders themselves have just completely disintegrated. So, I don't know about the Chiefs. I think they're running into a monster tonight, Ron. And I love the Chargers at what? +3?
+3 at home.
Couldn't make it +3.5, could
nope,
they?
It's +3.
They never give you that little extra half point that makes
you feel
better.
It doesn't matter. Last week I had the Buffalo +3. It goes to overtime. I'm thinking I get a push no matter what. And Brady throws a 60-yard touchdown pass.
They didn't even deserve that. They were getting blown out, Ron. How about the Bills, most disappointing team in the NFL? I think so.
Oh, man. They'd have to be right high on that list, I would think. Absolutely.
I think they're the most disappointing team in
Cleveland
football.
Cleveland would be pretty high, too.
But I think, well, yeah, they would be.
I mean, they were a sexy pick to go to the Super Bowl, right?
But everybody was picking Buffalo to win their division. Tons of people, the Super Bowl.
Derailed them? Your Pittsburgh Steelers in game one.
I know. Back when they were playing the kind of defense that Joe Green
could
be proud of.
Now, you know a lot more about volleyball than I do. Do you like your Pitt women tonight against they're playing Nebraska, right?
I know almost nothing about volleyball, but that's still more than you do probably.
Yeah, now you go to games. You've been there with your daughter.
Yeah.
Do you know the difference between a spiker and a setter?
I do.
I don't.
A hitter is the term, but yes.
Oh, they're not a setter?
No, it's not a spiker.
Oh, it's a hitter?
But I know what you mean. I'm going with official volleyball terms.
Well,
here,
that's
Ron.
What I mean. You know the
You have your outside hitter. You have your middle hitter. Yes, you have your setter. You have
so
your
you know more than me, but I do know.
Libero, you know what that one does?
I do not.
They are in the back and the front. I don't know what they do, Ron. They dive around and they do everything. They're the one that's allowed to move around a lot.
Is there diggers? Is there a digger?
Everyone's a digger.
Okay. All right. Who do you like? They have Nebraska. Nebraska's like the 10th seed. Pitt's like a number 2 seed,
I know,
right?
But Nebraska beat Texas. Nebraska's an outstanding defensive team, Ron, if you didn't know that. The back row is unbelievable. So it's going to be a great match. I can't wait. I think it's a really big deal that a Pitt team is on the verge of playing in a national championship.
And they for the national title Saturday.
Right.
And probably, I guess, Louisville's the number 1 seed. They're undefeated.
They are, but they're playing a team that has a girl who's 6'8" and one who's 6'9" in the front row, Wisconsin.
So Louisville has beaten Pitt twice this year, though.
Yes, they have. Pitt was missing a great player.
You know what they say? It's hard to beat a team 3 times in the same season.
I know. I kind of wish I was there, to be honest with you. It's going to be fabulous theater. And we'll be watching at home. I'm picking Pitt in 4, and I'm picking Wisconsin in an upset in 5. You?
Then Pitt has a chance to win it all, I would think.
Either way, yes.
Absolutely.
Who are you picking tonight?
I'm going to go with Pitt, absolutely.
How about in the other
one? Anytime they have a good digger, I'm going for them.
And in Wisconsin and Louisville, who you got?
You know, the Wisconsin just can't win the big games. They just can't. I got to go with
you. Think Paul Chryst will be tuned in for this
one?
I'll
bet he will. I'll bet he will.
Good luck to the Pitt women out in Columbus. All right, Ron. I will see you in the morning.
How
correct?
About let's do?
Oh my God, I lost something here.
How about us doing this tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock? You know what they say: nothing to it but to do it.
I'm not doing it. Who do you think will be the star of the football game tonight? Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. I'll take Tyreek Hill.
Thank you, Ron, and I'll see you in the morning.
See you in the morning.